You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are watching, listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. We've got Martin Armstrong with us for a repeat performance. We got so much to talk about, Martin. We got oil price shocks. We've got commodity booms and busts. We've got the BRICS conspiring to dethrone the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. We'll see how that works out. We've got, we basically have Western civilization in the throes of self-immolation. They're competing to destroy Western civilization. And I don't know about you, but I'm not real fond of the Chinese dominating the globe and the culture shock that will go with that. The idea of all of these heinous things that they're accused of doing with forced organ donations. I guess if you're forced to donate, it's not really a donation. They're just taking it from you. And the idea of re-education camps for religious sects that they don't necessarily go along with, all these things. Tell us first, with what's going on with the dollar, does it retain its prominence, reserve status, and for how long, if so?
Well, a lot of people don't understand. The dollar has been the one currency that anybody could write a bond in. You take the Japanese yen, for example. If you wanted to issue a bond in yen, you had to get permission from the Ministry of Finance. All right. So that's why you have so many emerging markets that issue debt in dollars. So they basically could sell it to American investors and they didn't have the foreign exchange risk. So the dollar has been more than just commodities priced in dollars or things of that. It's had less restrictions globally. And that's really what made it the reserve currency. Pretty much like before World War One, you saw China issuing bonds in British pounds. It was the same thing, because that's where all the financial capital was. That's where you sold it in the currency wherever you wanted to raise money from. But honestly, the sanctions that have been imposed upon Russia are so devastating to the global economy. It has clearly split it in half. And honestly, they don't look at this at all from any kind of an international perspective. Honestly, if I was advising a Chinese, I'd have to say, listen, look at what they just did to the Russians, and they might come after you individually because they don't like your country. You know, once they did that and went after individual people, you really broke all international law, period. There's no due process. You don't go to a court, say, hey, that's my money. I don't support Putin or whatever. You have no place to even argue. They just seize it. And that is devastating regardless of what country you're talking about. The world economy has functioned by the rule of law, the free movement of capital. And in these sanctions and what they've done is basically send off a warning to the entire world. I mean, if we get mad at your country, we'll just confiscate your assets as well. So why would a Chinese, in all honesty, say, gee, I want to invest in America? You know, you have to look at it from that perspective. And, you know, countries that put sanctions on each other, you know, back and forth, Iran, whatever, but you didn't start attacking individuals and say, oh, you're an Iranian and you might support your government. You know, that's a completely different thing. So, you know, once you did that, then you're taking the individuals and telling them, hey, you know, you shouldn't be investing here.
And obviously that's going to lead to the demise of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, because it's been weaponized effectively. And anybody that the U.S. government turns their sights on are subject to potentially devastating consequences as a result. So how much longer does the show go on? Are we going to get a SDR from the IMF? And is that...
Oh, I hope not, because the IMF is so damn corrupt. But I would say you're looking at probably after 2024, this thing becoming much more serious. You know, Biden has clearly divided the world now. And what people should understand is Obama went to SWIFT back in 2014 when you know, Russia went into Crimea, and he wanted them to remove Russia from SWIFT. And they said, no way, that would wipe out the very purpose of the system. Then they replaced the head of SWIFT in 2019. So now Biden goes back, oh, remove them. Oh, okay, yes. How high do you want us to jump? So it, you know, that's the difference. Obama tried it, but he couldn't get away with it. And this time it's like, you know, does anybody have a brain left? I don't know.
Or is it deliberate? Is it the, you know, WEF basically wanting to global reset, bring down the West and bring down everybody effectively?
Well, Schwab basically is delusional, in my opinion. I mean, they really think they can take down Russia and China conventionally, and it won't turn into some major war. And that's completely insane. You can't put Russia up to the point. I mean, you had the head of the British military come out and said they were going to wipe them off the face of the earth. What is this? I mean, this is complete insanity. So now you just had today that, you know, the head of Chechnya coming out and saying he's waiting for orders to annihilate the West. What is going on here? I mean, this is not worth destroying the entire world economy over.
And it's argued by some, and I'm of a couple of different minds on it, but that basically Russia has been provoked into this war. You think they were provoked to some extent? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I'm no fan of Putin.
Look, you can Google the day before Putin went in. All right, Zelensky, it's on the Daily Mail, stood up and said they were going to put in nuclear weapons and point them at Russia the day before. All right, the Biden administration sent over Harris to the Munich Security Council.
Yeah.
And I mean, it should have been the Secretary of State. And somebody handed her a card and, oh, you know, Ukraine should join NATO. This is all against all the treaties that were, you know, signed after, you know, in 1994. NATO had promised not to move eastward. Ukraine actually had more nuclear weapons than China. They gave them up based on the guarantees that NATO would not enter and Russia would not enter as long as they stayed neutral. And then you have Zelensky knowing this and standing up and saying, oh, we're going to redeploy nuclear weapons against Russia. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that's certainly, it's kind of like what we went through with Cuba back in 62.
Yeah, waving a red target in front of the bull.
Yeah, I mean, it made no sense to even do that unless you're deliberately trying to provoke this.
All right, so commodities took off. We were in a commodity super cycle. Now they crashed, but energy appears to be pretty strong. The euro implosion appears to be underway. I mean, what do you see unfolding here, Martin?
Well, I mean, you just had a completely brain dead situation where turbines needed to be repaired, and they're in Canada. And you have Zelensky telling Canada, you better not send them to Russia. That would violate the sanctions. And we would not look favorably upon Canada. Well, okay, fine. So Russia sent a letter and saying that we're going to have to cut off all the gas if we don't have the turbines to Germany. Mm-hmm. Now, Germany is the industrial heart of Europe.
Right.
I mean, you can also Google it. They put out a brochure on how to cook without electricity.
I saw that. Yes.
I mean, it's just I don't know. I mean, you have
places you go to heat up to get heat up because there's no heat. Right.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I mean, it's just complete. I mean, you can't put all these decisions together and say there's somebody is a rational decision maker here. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, honestly, the Germans should be invading Ukraine themselves at this point.
It's crazy. So we're going to have high energy prices in Europe and Asia, no matter what happens to the other commodities, aren't
our computer, you know, it's never been wrong on these geopolitical things. And honestly, it's showing 2023 is a massive turning point. And I think if it had legs, it would hide underneath my bed. Mm-hmm. It just looks as though it can't possibly get any better. It's only going to cascade into complete total chaos.
Right.
NATO is sending in all this ammunition to Ukraine. And Ukraine is like shelling the Donbass region, et cetera. But honestly, there's a shortage of ammunition. I mean, from Putin's perspective, he should be just doing the same thing that they did against Napoleon. I mean, let the West go and shoot everything they possibly can, and then they won't have anything left. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just can't imagine any of this. I mean, you know, I've gotten calls trying to get me back into, you know, geopolitics in Washington. I said, I'm not interested. Thank you. and so they even had my local congressman call me, and I said, why are you people calling me? And he actually said, we don't have the expertise in Washington. I says, because you've chased everybody out.
Yeah.
Anybody that I knew that was qualified, they're not interested.
Why would you want to go there?
It's just insane. I mean, before I was asked if I would be interested in like a chief economic advisor in the White House, I said, you realize, forget it. I'm uninterested. I mean, they're going to say, oh, well, you were advising all the Japanese auto companies against, you know, General Motors. That, you know, it's you can't possibly win anymore. I mean, it's like you're going to, who wants to go through all this stuff? for what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then they'll prosecute you and throw you in jail again. Right.
You know, I knew Steve Moore. He used to be the head of the Cato Institute. Right. Trump wanted, to put him in for the Federal Reserve. He would have been very qualified for it. And immediately they started attacking his family and he withdrew his name.
Yeah.
So anybody with any qualifications, they're just running for the hills.
Hey, well, who wants that aggravation and the character assassination?
It's not just you anymore. You have to worry about your family, your wife, the kids. I mean, you put everybody through this for what?
Yeah, for a thankless job where half the people in the world hate you, half the people in the country. I once had the extreme misfortune of running for my town council and opened my mouth. And, you know, I'd say more than half the people wound up hating me. Because they were all getting favors from the town, and it was a totally corrupt situation. So gold, silver in the dumps, how much longer does that persist for?
Don't just survive. Thrive, the Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Probably into the early part of next year, gold goes up not because of inflation. That has been the biggest propaganda ever. It goes up mainly when the confidence in government declines. Now, gold has been going down also because it's priced in dollars. All right, so the dollar goes up. It's remaining actually pretty steady and rising in some other currencies. So everybody acts in their own self-interest. So just because it goes up or down in terms of dollars doesn't really mean anything to somebody that's looking at gold in India, you know, China, or they still have to pay in their local currency.
Yes. All right. So in dollars, it's down. So that means the dollar is going to continue going up, or
the greater you have this geopolitical uncertainty in Europe, it pushes the dollar up. And look, in 1896, it's when, you know, William Jennings Bryan stood up against the gold standard saying you're not going to crucify us on a cross of gold, etc. The U.S. government was bankrupt. J.P. Morgan had to bail out the Treasury with $100 million gold loan back then. So we go from bankrupt in 1896 to the world's largest economy after World War One. Then after World War II, we ended up with 76% of the entire official world gold reserves. How did that happen? Because when you have tanks running down the streets in Europe, don't you think you're going to take your money out of the local bank and put it someplace else? So all the money comes here. So a lot of the real estate has been European buying. It's been, you know, pretty much everything that they've been looking at. You know, they've been going into short-term treasuries, real estate. I mean, even gold, it's not declining dramatically because, you know, they are buying gold, but gold going in dollars is going down. So it's that capital movement. And that's what made the United States the, you know, financial capital of the world. It was World War One and World War Two. Without that, we would still be an agrarian, you know, society. So, throwing your tomatoes in the backyard, you know?
So wealthy Chinese, though, are still trying to get their money out of China as fast as they can, right?
Well, there's concern now with the whole sanctions thing with the United States. So you also have, as the dollar goes up, you have Japan and China have been taking profits and selling off their bonds. So that's been, you know, taking place as well. So it's very, you know, interesting, but it's a complex situation that we have here. It's not something you can say just one thing is causing this. It's you got to look at it from around the world, and it's happening for different reasons everywhere else.
All right. So looking at the real estate bust, and now there supposedly is a mass rebellion of borrowers in China against the lenders, as far as staying current with their real estate debt. What about Chinese real estate? That's the largest asset class in the world here, Martin, and it appears to be imploding.
Yes. I mean, if you go back a couple years, China was warning its banks and its provinces, do not borrow in dollars. They were borrowing in dollars because it was cheaper interest rates. So you have the same situation in the 80s. I ran into that in Australia. They were selling mortgages in Swiss francs to save money. In Europe, when the peg for the Swiss and the euro broke, the same problem emerged. You had the bankers selling loans or mortgages in Swiss, but then all of a sudden the Swiss franc went up against the euro, and then you owed 20% more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's part of this is all wrapped up in the whole currency problem. And that as the dollar goes up and these emerging markets, which China was issuing, you know, mortgages and dollars and things of this nature, you know, and you're going to save interest. And they had no concept of the foreign exchange risk. So it's we're looking at an economic decline. GDP in China barely broke even last quarter, but you know it's we're looking at it probably declining into 2023.
That's a big problem there. So
the problems absolutely everywhere. I mean it's somebody asked me, you know, is there one particular world leader that I would talk to today? And I said absolutely none of them. I don't see any of them that has any idea what's going on, and they just read the cue cards. That's it.
Yeah, they're good. The teleprompter, the person that programs the teleprompter is the real boss.
Yeah, it's like the old, you know, that rap song, "Will the Real Slim Shady Please Stand Up?" You know, they should remake it with "The Real President Please Stand Up."
So war, what about the war cycle? Are we heading for major war now? Is this Ukraine thing going to eventually blow over? What's going to happen here?
You know, you have to, you know, understand most of what is being put out is just total propaganda.
Yes.
If Putin wanted to conquer Ukraine, he would do it seriously. All right. When we went into Iraq, the first thing you do in a military strike is you take out the power grid, you then take down the communications, and then you take down the water supply. That's why we have to spend so much to rebuild all that stuff. He did none of those, which is an indication showing that he had no intention of conquering Ukraine. He was doing exactly what he said. He was there to protect the Donbass, which historically were all Russian people to begin with. Ukraine was not a country at all until the Soviet Union. And most people don't realize, but Khrushchev, who created the 62, you know, missile crisis in Cuba, that's where he grew up, in Donbass. Brezhnev, the guy that replaced him, all right, was born there in what they call Ukraine today. So scholars in Moscow actually debate who's really Russian. Stalin was from Georgia. So actually, you know, you have some of the most notorious leaders were never from actually historically Russia.
Yes.
They were from the provinces, per se.
Hitler was from Austria. That guy.
Exactly. I mean, this is, you know, you have to look at some of these things, you know, objectively. So it's that whole area, Ukraine, Armenia. I mean, I can tell you the Armenian mafia are the most feared in the world. Even Russian mafia or Italian mafia fear them. Why? Because if you did something that offended them, they know family feuds back then. So they wipe out you, your entire family, and the dog. Where Italian might just shoot you and leave your wife alone, but, you know, and the same thing with the Russian, but Armenians, everybody goes. Ukrainians are more closer to the Armenians than they are anybody else on a feud type perspective.
Right. So it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys kind of thing.
Pretty much. I mean, look, I have friends from Kiev and I have friends from Donetsk. And I was in Greece with one from Kiev And they went to Egypt, to Spain, back to Kiev, rather than take a flight from through Moscow. The hatred there is, it's so systemic, it's crazy. You will insult them if you brought a bottle of vodka that came from Moscow.
That's crazy. So, well, one thing is Putin kind of expected the Ukraine to just fold the second they invaded. They thought they were going to get to Kiev, put in a puppet regime. So in that respect, his ambitions failed.
I'm not sure that's actually correct. I was speaking to people in Kiev when he had that whole column of tanks there, but they weren't doing anything. They just sat. And I asked them, I said, what's going on? You know, and how come you're not attacking, or why aren't they attacking? And he said, look, it's a show of force. They're not doing anything, so we're not going to do anything. I don't think he deliberately wanted to put in a puppet regime or something of that nature. If you go back even to CNN, when Zelensky was was elected, he promised to end corruption and to seek peace with Russia. And he's done exactly the opposite. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars now stashed offshore. So, I mean, he'll fight to the last Ukrainian dies on the battlefield and hop on his private jet and go off to the Bahamas, you know?
Fight to the last U.S. dollar in their treasury. Well, interesting things here. You got to go over to Armstrong Economics, go and subscribe to Martin's newsletter. It is quite informative, gives you a different perspective on everything you're seeing and hearing in the media. Hey, if you got any questions for Marty, just shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Martin, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Take care of yourself over there on the East Coast.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.